The centerpiece of our season is an opera by the great composer Dvorak that we have waited a long time to bring to Iowa. I've been saying that it's the Iowa premiere of Dvorak's Rusalka, and I believe that's the case. And your listeners may even be aware that one of the great stories in classical music is the time that Antonin Dvorak spent in Spillville, Iowa. It just so happens that that anniversary is 125 years ago this very summer. Dvorak had taken an offer to come to the United States at the National Conservatory, and it was one of the best musical training programs in the world with a highly progressive outlook, and he had a wonderful time there. He had intended to return to Europe during the summer of 1893, but at the suggestion of his secretary, who was a Czech-American, he decided instead to travel to the Czech emigrant community in Spillville, Iowa, where he and his wife and their four children spent the summer. He reveled in his Iowa sojourn in up in the northeast part of the state and enjoyed a daily routine that included morning walks along the Turkey River, listening to birds, going to mass at the local church. In fact, two of his most remarkable pieces were composed during his Iowa sojourn, the string quartet in F major that's subtitled the American Quartet, as well as the string quintet in E flat major, are all said to have been inspired by the Iowa landscape. There's another story that says that his daily walks during along the Turkey River, he would come across nymphs bathing or young ladies bathing in the Turkey River, and it inspired him to turn to the story of the Little Mermaid, the Hans Christian Andersen story. Take a little bit of a step away from some of the happier aspects of the fairy tale and into the realm of melancholy and turn it into an opera, which he did, and he called it Rusalka, and it premiered in 1900 in Prague and has gone on to become probably the most familiar and most often performed Czech opera around the world, even 125 years after his Iowa sojourn. And it's a fantasy full of charm and magic and humor and gorgeous music. But I think a little bit at the center of it, you can say that there is a human poignancy that is a real rarity and makes it a real treasure in the operatic world. Rusalka is, of course, a water nymph. There's a witch and a prince and a father and a competing human princess. And, of course, at the center of it all is Rusalka, the water nymph herself. And our production, you know, takes a little bit more of an imaginative and conceptual view of the piece, in which the world in which all the characters are inhabiting is a representative, a little bit of the swamp meeting the palace, and a mash together of the two worlds that both the prince and Rusalka inhabit, showing how they're both integrated and intertwined and existing in the same space, and yet so far apart from one another that they can't fully realize their happiness and their relationship the way that they might be able to. It's a beautiful design. I've been watching the production being built and painted in our warehouse over the last couple of weeks, and it's highly conceptual, highly designed, and probably one of the most beautiful and original things that we've ever put on the stage. So I'll leave it to people's imagination from there.
And are you singing this in Czech?
We will be singing this in Czech, and we have a particular coach coming out that specializes in this, and we'll be teaching our singers their roles in Czech. And, you know, this piece in particular is no longer necessarily not standard repertory. And one of the chief reasons for that is the great American soprano Renee Fleming, who made this piece, and particularly the song To the Moon that Rusalka sings early on, her signature number and her entry piece into many of the great opera houses of the world. And it was one of the last pieces she did as she was beginning to transition out of staged operatic productions.
Tell us about the four key singers.
Well, Sarah Gartland is not new to our audiences. She's appeared with us numerous times. I think she's one of the most gifted and beautiful voices that we have, we've had on our stage, and certainly an extraordinary actress as well. She sings the title role of Rusalka. 2 years ago, she sang Yennefer, which was our first Czech language opera. And as soon as I heard it, I said, this time has come now. We found our Rusalka. It's time to get it on the agenda. Her Prince is sung by a young tenor named Evan Leroy Johnson, and this is a very hard role to fill. Evan is a young singer who's come to great attention in the last couple of years as rising young tenor, and I chose him after having only heard him one time before. I knew this was going to be a big talent, and since we've hired him for this role, he's gone on to see that he's being engaged in the next couple of years by major opera houses on all sides of the world, Glyndebourne and in China and Berlin and all sorts of things. So we're very fortunate to have him, probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do this role. The witch, Jezi Baba, the witch who allows Rusalka into the human world, is sung by Jill Groh. This is a legendary mezzo, and she sung this role in enormous opera houses, including Lyric Opera of Chicago and the Houston Grand Opera in recent years, so we're very excited to have her. And Vodnik, who is the Rusalka's father, will be sung by Zachary James, a guy who's about 6 foot 7 feet tall, an enormous presence, made a big impression on audiences last year when he debuted as John Claggart and Billy Budd. And so we wanted to work to get him back right away, and we're glad he's here.
And who's conducting and directing this?
Chaz Rader-Schieber is our director. This is his third production with us, and he and scenic designer Jacob Clymer have come up, as I mentioned, with a visual world and a conceptual production that is very special. And our conductor will be our principal conductor, music director David Neely, who spent a lot of last year on sabbatical from his university teaching position in the Czech Republic studying the works of Dvorak and Janáček and studying the Czech language. So it's very timely for David that he comes to the podium for this piece with us.
Give us an outline of the synopsis.
Well, there are three acts to the opera. The first act, we meet Rusalka, her sisters who are water nymphs, and her father. We become aware that she's encountered a human prince and that she longs to be human, to have a soul. The word Rusalka is a singular proper noun in the opera, but in Czech, the word Rusalki are water nymphs who were spirits or beings of young women who for one reason or another were lost and sort of haunted the outskirts of bodies of water and according to mythology, lured young human men to their depths by watery embraces. And so we meet Rusalka, the proper noun in this opera, and we realize she's met this prince and she longs for a way to become a human. Jezi Baba provides her with that opportunity, and in Act 2 she journeys to the human world, but the condition is to have having a soul is that she has no voice to speak to him, and so we're set up immediately for some difficulties. And when we are in Act 2 in the palace, we meet a foreign princess, as she's referred to in the opera. You know, some of the prince and the foreign princess don't have names. They're sort of archetypes. And we know right away when we meet this foreign princess that she's a great rival and a threat to Rusalka. And I won't spoil how the opera ends, but those listeners who know the story of The Little Mermaid can probably guess that it doesn't necessarily end with the most happy of endings for our protagonists.